This Braille Promotions Workshop is thanks to our Braille Promotions Chair, Kim, to getting this going and putting together the panel. So thank you everybody who's part of the panel on this. And also something
Oh,
to save the date in your calendar, April 26th at
I knew
2 p.m. Eastern will
that.
be
Oh, no,
another Braille Promotions Workshop given by Chantal Griffiths, who is a lifelong Braille reader from New Zealand. She'll be joining us Sunday morning at 8 a.m. her time, but it will be 2 p.m. Eastern our time on Saturday the 26th. And she's going to talk about improving your Braille reading, whether you are a longtime Braille reader and you want to improve your fluency or you're new to Braille. There'll be something for everyone, she promises. And she's given a number of master classes with the Braillist Foundation podcast from the UK. So just something to keep in mind. And there'll be lots more information coming out to the up to, on this in the next month. So anyways, I'll hand it over to you, Kim, with after that
Thank you, Daphne,
infomercial.
and thanks everybody for joining us. I imagine most of you are pretty familiar with BLC, but if you're not, we do have a lot going on over have a newsletter, and we have various workshops, and we're going to have an AGM coming up, and our symposium, our fifth annual symposium, is also coming up. So please go on the website and sign up to become a member. If you're not a member, if you like to, it's $20. Very reasonable. So today we're going to talk about Braille embossers for home use. And I do not have a Braille embosser. I've never owned one, so I'm very not knowledgeable in this field, but so many people do have a lot of questions about Braille embossers. So we brought together some skilled ladies to be on our panel here. And I know that some of you who are here also will have Braille embossers. And so once we get through the set of questions that we have, it would be great, to hear your input too, because I know there's other people here who are very knowledgeable. So we have on our panel Marilyn Rushton and Betty Noble, Diana Brent, and Jen Golden. So I'm just going to go around and maybe just quickly say your name. Like, I don't want to go too long, but say your name so people can hear your voice if they're not as familiar with you, and maybe how long you've used embossers, because these are all long-time Braille users, so we won't talk about how long you use Braille, but how long approximately have you used an embosser? So who would like to start us off?
I will.
Go ahead, Jen.
I'm Jen Golden, and I have, I guess maybe had access to embossers. I had a professor in university who was blind, and so he had one. But in terms of how long I've had my own, I bought mine in 2012, and I'm happy to say that it is still going.
That's impressive. Who would like to go next?
I'm Diana Brent, and I've had access to an embosser, not a real embosser. The first one was kind of a handmade embosser made out of a daisy wheel printer, and that was in the late 70s that I had that, and you put a program in it from one of the translations companies, and it used the period on the printer to print. So it only would print actually on printer paper, ink print printer paper. So it was not durable in terms of the Braille, but it would work for a presentation or whatever. So that was my first embosser. And then when I worked with Betty at Vancouver Community College, there was embossers there, and I had a single sheet feeder, which was great, except that it tended to jam, and so I stopped doing that. And I've had in and out access to embossers ever since then.
Great, thank you. All right. Betty or Marilyn, whoever wants to go.
It's Betty, and so as Diana mentioned, I had
an embosser or access to an embosser at Vancouver Community College probably since the mid 80s. I think the first one I used was probably a VersaPoint. I've had a lot of exposure, but I didn't get my own embosser until I purchased one from someone's estate. And that was really amazing because I always felt that I couldn't afford one to purchase. So I always try to get technology at the most reasonable price possible. And I do find that embossers last for a really long time, many of them. And that's something that even if you do purchase it at its regular price, it's such a good deal because they last, you know, as long as a good car, I would say.
Thank you. Okay, Marilyn.
Well, I'm trying to remember, but I think I got my first one in the 90s. And it's called a Braille Blazer, and I always love the name. And it's kind of described in a lot of the articles that you read as a workhorse, and it really is. And I haven't used it for a long time because I have another one now, but that thing just keeps going and going. It's like the Energizer Bunny. And then I think it was around 2006 or 8, somewhere along like that. A friend of Diana's in Calgary had found an embosser that the organization wanted to give it away. So we went and got it and made a donation to the school. And I remember coming onto the plane, lugging this great, big, huge, heavy Romeo embosser, but I still have it. It's great.
That's awesome. And that's great to hear that they last a long time because they are pretty expensive.
They are.
So our first question, and maybe we'll go to Marilyn first for the factors. What are the factors that you consider when choosing an embosser? And that's like for your home use. What kind of things do you keep in your mind when you're trying to decide what to get?
Well,
what should people keep in mind, do you think?
Okay, I've got things that I like and things that I don't. And sometimes my experience has been that I haven't really been able to get it all, but nor have I looked because one of the factors, of course, is the price. And because this one was being given away, we just made a donation and it saved us a lot of money, which at the time was a factor to consider. This particular one, the Romeo one, is a 40 character. It takes the larger paper, and the Blazy only takes the 8.5 by 11 paper, and some people have preference. But at the time, I was working in schools when I got the Romeo, which was my second one, and I wanted the 40 character lines because that's what my students' books were. And so I was able to emboss things for them that I wanted them to work on. If, for instance, if they had an assignment they had to do and they didn't have the materials, I would look it up on the internet and put the file aside and run it through my Braille embosser, and I could give them the work they needed. And that was really handy. So one of the things I wanted was tractor feed because I didn't want to do single sheets, and I didn't want double-sided, but I don't even know if double-sided was available then. It was a durable printer. It had a good track record, and it had a good case around it. The other thing, though, and it's my complaint about it, is that I have never ever been able to remember where the keys are on the keypad to program it, because the keypad is square, all the buttons look alike. And anything that I've tried to put on it, like lock dots or glue or anything like that to help me identify the keys, it won't stay on. So although I had a Braille manual and I have a print manual for it, if something goes wrong, I can't fix it independently. And that really does annoy me. But other than that, I really like the printer. Every once in a while, I get it serviced, because one of the things that happened to it is it started not printing the middle of the lines. The beginnings and the ends were all fine, and the braille was like it was only half there in the center. And I took it in, and the people at the shop said, well, there's different parts of the machinery that print different parts of the line, and the middle section has worn out. But nevertheless, it got replaced, and the old dear is still working. And I guess I wanted a long answer to the short question. I wanted the wider paper. I wanted tractor feed. I wanted single-sided. And that particular embosser did all those things. And with the Blazy printer that takes the 8.5 by 11 paper, it's got all the same features except for the paper size. And I have found that they've both been quite useful. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Okay, let's jump over to Jen. What factors do you take into consideration, if you can?
So I agree with what was just said. I'm going to keep my answer short and try to say something else. One of the things that I thought a lot about is, what do I want to use this embosser for? So, and I'll just keep it to one example. I wanted to be able to take my embosser somewhere, like not to work every day. I didn't have to do that. But like, if I went away, like the BLC AGM, I wanted to be able to bring my embosser in case we needed it. So I bought one that would do what I wanted, but that was light enough that if I was going somewhere by car, at least I could bring it with me. So I think it's important to think about, what exactly are you going to use this embosser for? And that helps you figure out all the things, you know, that we were just talking about, which what's going to work best for you, if you can think through, well, what's the context where I'm going to use this?
That's a great point. So we've got some people prefer single-sided, double-sided. Double-sided, of course, means there's braille on both sides of the paper. Whether they want single pages or the tractor feed, which is the holes in the sides of the paper to hold it. So yeah, great, great consideration. So what about you, Diana?
I agree with all the things that have been said so far. The other thing, and I don't have to do this a lot, but it's a consideration, do you want to print graphics? Because some of the older embossers, and a funny story, Marilyn's Blazer printer I now have, I traded her a Victor Stream for it. And so because I wanted a very basic single-sided print embosser. However, the embosser I use most is an Index, and it's portable. That's another thing Jen mentioned. Durable. I wanted double-sided. I wanted a 40-character line most times because sometimes it's very handy. I do a lot of braille transcription, and so I need to print what I transcribe. So I wanted one that would be able to do that. And I actually wanted double-sided as opposed to single-sided, because one of the things, it uses less paper, and a braille reader doesn't, at least I haven't found any that have necessarily had any trouble with reading double-sided pages. Sighted people hate it because they have to hold it up to a light to get a shadow across it to see the dots. But most blind people I haven't found have a problem reading double-sided, as long as they get the pages the right way around. And that's why, so for binding, that kind of thing, it's quicker. I think it prints faster double-sided than single-sided, although I haven't done a race testing that. So I think those are the things I would add. Also, wireless capability. Do you want to be able to print wireless, or are you happy with a USB port? I like the idea of single sheet, but when I had a single sheet embosser, it jammed a lot, even when I used regular braille paper. But the advantage to it was I could use, I liked people's letterhead when their office was closed and they had boxes of letterhead because it was heavy, and I could run it through that embosser. So that was just a way of not having to buy braille paper, and it stood up pretty well too. And that's probably all, because I know we have lots of other
questions. Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Betty, you're up, Betty. Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. I think everyone's pretty much covered it. I wanted something that would do single-sided or double-sided. Part of the consideration is noise. Some printers are noisier than others, and you can get sound covers for embossers. So, you know, they're kind of expensive, but they're often worth it if noise is a consideration. Simple graphics, if you want a printer that will print simple graphics. There was a printer that would it sort of included in a built-in translator. It wasn't the greatest. It may have improved, but it also would do graphics. But that wasn't something I needed or wanted. So I think everybody's pretty much covered everything else.
So one other thing that Diana might not have been here, so she did send me some notes. And one of the things, the only thing I see that wasn't covered was how much printing are you going to do? Like, are you doing light amount of printing or are you doing a lot? So that you might, like, I think like Jen said, are you going to carry it with you? But are you going to do it all day long? Or are you going to just, okay, like, you know, sometimes print? So that was one of the things you said that no one said. So
but, oh, that's true. Yes.
Yeah. So you might think about how much are you going to use it. But the quietness, I think a lot of people worry about that, especially people in apartments or, you know, in small space, because they are quite loud. If someone has not heard one, they're not quiet.
No.
Kim,
our next question. Sorry, go ahead, Jen.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'll be really fast. The one thing that we didn't talk about that I think is actually important, more so to some people than others, is the dot quality, because not all embossers are made equal. Some of them, people really don't like the braille that comes out of them. Some embossers produce really like crisp dots, and others, because of the shape of the dot, they're a little bit more rounded. So you may be very particular about the kind of dot that you want.
So how do you find that out before getting it? Like, that is a really good point.
It's kind of something that you have to, if you've had experience, like if you've, you know, you can ask people, you can, like that's something we could tell each other. People who've had experience with like Romeos and Juliets, their dots are awesome. I have an index, and a lot of people don't like the dots from the index because they are a little bit rounder. There's like the View Plus, sometimes the dots are a bit smaller. It's really kind of a, I don't know if this is the kind of information you could find from the manufacturer.
Yeah, probably
like
not. So it's worth
people
asking.
In the community would tell you. You know,
they also would give
a boss or ask your friends.
They would give you a sample. Like, you could ask the manufacturer
that's
for
true.
A
that's
sample.
A really good idea.
But I wouldn't have thought of that the braille would be different. So that's awesome to know.
Yes, it is.
So the second question is, what are the pros and cons of using an embosser? So Betty, since you went last and everyone took your answers out, why don't you go first this time?
Well, I guess a con is the noise. And I did a lot of embossing recently for the provincial election, and I had two printers, and I didn't set the embosser on a piece of foam, and it kind of bounced up and down and gouged the wood of my desk and my dresser, where I had one embosser on my dresser in the bedroom and one on my desk. So I would say, even if you don't have any kind of a sound box, make sure you put an embosser on a piece of foam so that that doesn't happen. And that happened with my index. That's when I have an index basic V4. It's not the wireless one, but it that happened with me. So that's definitely a con.
No, thank you, Betty. Because I have the same embosser.
But I mean, I was printing so much, right? Like, I was printing almost nonstop for a couple of weeks. I didn't notice it if I was just printing the church bulletin and my choir stuff once a week. It just never even crossed my radar at all. And it, in fact, it didn't do any harm. But I guess consistent use like that, you know, then that would kind of, you know, be an issue for some people. So now I have a gouged up desk and a gouged up dresser. But so that and noise, I guess, would be the cons. The pros, you know, it depends what you want. You know, the single sheet embossers will sometimes do much smaller braille paper as well. You know, I know, don't know if you've seen those little pocket calendars. Nobody seems to produce them anymore. But if you have a printer like the Everest, you can use, you know, smaller paper than 8.5 by 11, and you can produce, you know, little smaller booklets. That might be something that someone wants to do. So the single sheet feeder might be useful in that situation. With the index, it, as far as I know, it doesn't do single sheets. It just uses tractor fed paper, but I found that to be most reliable for fairly large documents. So it's, you know, it doesn't jam very often. And in fact, very rarely does it jam. And I found that to be really useful. The wireless capability, if you have it, is very helpful, because if you have a basement in your house and you don't want a noisy printer up in your living room or whatever close to where your living space, then, you know, you can print, and it goes happily printing away downstairs if it's wireless, and then you just have to go and get it. So, you know, wireless would be a nice thing to have for people who have the room and can, you know, put their printer somewhere else. Weight is another thing that people have mentioned. Certainly the printers, like the more modern ones, like the Index, are lighter, but they're still not that light. But they're comparable to an ink print printer. The Blazer, I don't even know if it's manufactured anymore, but somebody might still have one. It's very light, light. Like probably the lightest embosser that I've ever seen. And, you know, you could even, you know, carry it on the bus. That's how light it is. However, most embossers today are definitely not like that. I do recall there was an embosser that would print and braille simultaneously.
Otsuki, I think it is.
It was called the Otsuki, yes. And, you know, if that's important, then, you know, that's what you would want to do. And we've also talked about graphics. So I'm sure other panelists will have more, but I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you. So Marilyn, pros and cons of embossers with you. I know you said one con already is it's very hard to set up yourself sometimes, which when you think about a braille embosser, it shouldn't be that way. But any other pros and cons, what do you feel about?
I guess I think it's kind of a matter of personal preferences. I don't like to do a presentation with a braille display. I like to have hard copy braille. And I was thinking about this morning, and I thought, why is that? And I thought, it's because I'm old and I don't trust technology. So I like to have my hard copy braille. So for me, having a reliable embosser is important. I don't use it very often, but when I need it, I really am very, very glad that I have it. And I have a problem with how much they cost. I think that it's just, I don't know whether it's justified, whether it's the market, because not many people want them, or not many people have the need to use hard copy braille. What worries me is maybe a lot of people haven't had the opportunity to learn the advantages of having hard copy braille when you really need to read something without anything getting in the way, when you're under time pressure, when you've got a presentation to do, when you have to have things organized in a certain format. I just think there's nothing like an embosser. So I think that's really all I've got to say on that score.
Well, you have an interesting point, Marilyn, because I've never had an embosser, so I have to use my braille display. But sometimes I really wish that I had hard copy, because you can skim down, right? Which is harder to do that with a braille display.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're doing a presentation, you can skim down. And Betty, you were mentioning choir stuff and singing in choirs. Like if you have hard copy braille, you can move your sheets around, and you can use a Braille display for those things, but I, in some ways, hard copy Braille may well be easier
And
for
I do the same thing.
this kind of stuff. Definitely for sure. So, Jen, do you have, what are your pros and cons? Any other ones that you think of for your using your hard copy?
Yeah, I was going to say the thing about hard copy, because I was going to talk about that too, because I play piano at church and it's just there's, but since we've already kind of talked about the advantages over technology, I think part of that, is sometimes you just want to see the entire page as opposed to just one line. Like I love my Braille displays, but sometimes I just need to see the entire page, or I want to be able to, so I'm not having to kind of scroll back and forth. I think the pro is that you can have hard copy when you want it. Like that's a the big reason that I would have an embosser, really, in spite of all the other issues. I would say a con, and I think someone kind of touched on this, is that you have to weigh that factor of like, okay, I'm not going to emboss books and take them with me everywhere. I'm probably going to use my Braille display for that. So can I justify having it? It's one of those things. Can I justify having it, but at the same time, when I need it, I really need it. So I think the con is like that you spend a lot of money on something that you may not actually use very often. And if it breaks, you can't really fix it yourself for the most part. So that's kind of a con, I would say too.
Yeah.
That when
Okay,
that,
Di.
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Diana, do you have any other
Well,
ones to?
the only I'm going to caution about putting foam under your embosser as long as you leave enough air space under. But if it sinks into that foam, it could make your embosser too hot. So just I'm not saying it's not a good idea, but just consider that you should probably have air space under there. And I have my embosser on a printer stand that has heavy bars across it. And so it sits there and it can't mark anything up. So that's one. I do it for recipes, but I wouldn't buy an embosser to print recipes. But because I have an embosser, I like to use it for recipes or a manual. So because we don't get as many Braille manuals as we should anymore. So it's nice to emboss them and reference cards, then I can skim through them. But we've talked about that. So really, most of the things I had. Oh, the other thing is think about Braille translation. Because unless the printer has a Braille translation built in, you have to be able to translate your stuff into Braille. Otherwise, you're going to get, and I have to use this phrase, I'm sorry, uncontracted computer Braille. So it's sort of like grade uncontracted Braille, but the punctuation symbols and everything is different. So if your embosser doesn't have a built-in translation program, and if they do, they often don't format very well. You don't have as much control, I find. You need to have a Braille translation program to go with it.
Yeah, good point. And
Yes.
you also said, and I think Marilyn, well, I don't know, some people have kind of
Yeah.
said, if you don't like figuring out tech challenges, maybe an imposter is not.
Yes, I will stick to that. And I didn't mind. Like I'm used to having to do that because I've had to do it through all my working life to follow step-by-step procedures and get it working. And once you do, it's fabulous. But if you're not prepared to do that, maybe you don't want an embosser.
So here's a question, because not everyone can afford to have an embosser, and we've touched on this. The prices of them are quite high. I don't know what the lowest price one would be, but I imagine it's in the thousands of dollars. The lowest price, I would think, for us, probably 4 or 5 thousand. So, similar to some of the Braille note taker things. But if you could only afford one, if you get money and you could have an embosser or a Braille display, which might you have and why? So, Diana, do you want to go first, Diana?
Oh, I found this really hard because I use both in tandem. Because I do Braille translation, I like to be able to use the Braille display with my computer to do that translation. But I also like to often emboss certain sections of it to make sure that be able to proofread it and see it on a whole page. And so I have trouble. If I wasn't doing Braille translation, I think I'd come down on the side of a display without, if I had to choose. But it's hard because of the way I use it. Even now that I'm retired, I still do enough translation. And the thing is, my translation paid for me to buy the other piece of technology. So if you're able to make money from working, even if you're at home, then you eventually can justify the two pieces of technology.
Yeah, so if it's just personal use, though, you would come down on the side of the Braille display, I guess, right?
Probably, yeah. But it's hard because I love my embosser.
Yeah. Who shall we go? Does anyone have a strong view on this?
Well, I had an embosser before I had a Braille display. And I think I would choose an embosser over a Braille display, the ability to have hard copy Braille to take with me if I needed to. I now have Braille display and I love it. But I think if I had to choose, I would probably choose an embosser first. Okay. Because it's really wonderful to have hard copy Braille when you need it. If you want to print out a recipe or, if you want to do stuff for a choir or whatever the case may be, I just think it's super handy to have hard copy Braille.
All right. So one embosser. Well, no, anyway. So other two, does anyone have a strong preference? I know it's a hard thing to choose, but. But if you had only one choice, what would you do?
It's Marilyn. I had a hard time with this one as well. I think I would go with, and it's not quite the same, a Braille display and an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I use my display so much more than mm-hmm. my embosser. And also because I don't like just listening to reading, except if I'm reading for pleasure, because I'm a bit of a fanatic about knowing how things are spelled, and I don't have the patience to go through and look through JAWS or even VoiceOver character by character. So I want to see what words look like. The disadvantage that I find, though, with the Braille display over the hard copy embossed Braille, which I also really love, is you don't really get the formatting from your Braille display, which often isn't important, but sometimes I find, oh, gee, I wish I knew this. But I do think, though, that we're talking about recipes, and I wanted to mention that I think hard copy Braille recipes are really important, because if you're cooking, it's really, you don't want to use a Braille display because you can get junk in your Braille display and that gums it up. And then
you don't want it. You don't want to be
prepared.
Even in a plastic bag, it's not the best. But yeah, you're absolutely. What about you, Jen? Do you have a view?
I thought this was an excellent question because, like everybody else has said, it's a tough choice. I too would pick a Braille display only because I use it so much more, but I agree with Betty. Like there's, you know, when you need a hard copy, you really need a hard copy. So I think I would say a Braille display, but at the same time, I would kind of try to have my cake and eat it too and find something on, like, you know, sometimes manufacturers will sell demo versions of things, or you can, it sounds crazy, but you can even find things like on eBay sometimes, or you just, I've bought equipment because I just happened to hear about somebody's like, oh, this person's trying to sell their Braille display or their embosser or whatever. So, so in a way, if you can find things secondhand, but you know, they're still in good condition because you trust the source, then you kind of can have both, but it's, you know, sometimes you have to take the long view as well. Like I'm kind of at a point now where I'm thinking, at some point I'm going to need a new Braille embosser, but yeah, do I buy a new Braille embosser or do I just get another Braille display? I'm thinking, well, okay, at this point, maybe I just start thinking about a new Braille embosser. It's yeah, it really depends on what you use and how big picture or long-term you want to think.
Yeah.
I got my Braille embosser from the CCB buy and sell list.
Yes.
I got a wonderful deal on it. And then there are some American buy and sell lists as well. You have to be a little careful with those if you want to sell something, because I got cheated, unfortunately. I sold a little Smart Beetle to someone and they never paid for it. But I mean, those things happen on those lists. But
yeah, I had an incident like that too. Yeah.
So my Braille embosser, you know, I got a $5,000 embosser for $500.
Wow.
So I mean, how can you not do that, right? And it hadn't, you know, it had been purchased, I guess, for this individual who wasn't a strong Braille user and just never used it. So it was pretty much brand new. So I was very lucky.
Same with the one I got.
Yeah. I shouldn't admit this, but I have an embosser in Arizona and an embosser in Calgary, because I do translation stuff here as well. But the one I got one from the States, and I saved through one of the lists, and it's very lucky. I saved over $2,000 on it for sure. To buy it, because and it's never given me any trouble. So I think those bad things happen, but I think they happen anywhere, not just in our community.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I do want to mention, though, that it's really important to have your embosser serviced, and that is an additional cost to having an embosser, but at least annually, depending on how much you use it, of course. But, you know, it gets dust and little bits of paper and whatnot inside it, and it really does need to be cleaned and oiled every so often. So, you know, that is an additional cost. And it, as I say, it depends how much you use it, so that you may not need to do it every year, but you might have to do it every 2 or 3 years.
Well, I'm still laughing because I forgot that Diana and I had traded devices, the Victor Stream for the Blazy.
Yeah, that's quite a trade.
Yeah.
So this is a really easy, quick question, but like Diana was saying earlier, that you need to use some sort of Braille translation software with an embosser. So you need to use something that turns print documents into Braille. I know what probably most of you are going to say, but what translation software do people use? Is everyone using Duxbury?
Yes. I am.
Yes.
But I do want to add one thing. I'm not using the latest versions because I think I would have to pay more licensing fees, and they can be expensive, and I don't use it enough. So I've let my license lapse. The program, the version that I have, which is called, the number is 11.3. It's doing what I need. And one day I'm going to pay for that. But it's also really, I've found it in the past, really complicated to set it up. It's required phone calls. And I don't even mind that part so much, but it takes so much time that I'm really avoiding doing that. One day it's going to come back and bite me. But not yet.
So everyone is using it, but I just want to point out to people. So Braille, Duxbury is probably another, like it's like JAWS, it's probably another $1,100 on top of your embosser.
Actually, it's a little cheaper than, I mean,
it's around $800, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. It's still expensive, but
it's an expensive piece that you have to think about. But Braille Blaster is pretty good. I mean, that's what I use when I don't have an embosser, but that's what I use. And it's free, and I find it very easy to use. And there's a version for the PC and for the Mac of Braille Blaster. So I don't know. I mean, I would recommend it.
That's great.
To start off with it, maybe if you just get an embosser, you could try Braille Blaster. I find it quite easy. Like, Jen, do you ever use Braille Blaster?
I do sometimes just for the sake of knowing how to use it, and sometimes for like testing something. And yeah, it's pretty intuitive. Like if you're familiar with Word, it kind of like the menus are a little bit like that, and you just kind of have to play with it a bit until you kind of get the hang of how it works. But yeah, no, I think it's
I
awesome.
find it very easy to use. Like, I'll just
Good.
take a Word doc and turn it into a BRF or whatever. I find it pretty easy.
And isn't there one called Braille 2000 that's free
Yes.
and pretty good too?
No, it's
Yes.
not
It's
free.
not free.
Oh,
Not free.
okay.
No. No.
There's a few too that you paste into a website and then they send you a file, but I don't want to, I wouldn't
There's
want to do that.
RoboBraille and Seomai, I think it's called,
Yeah, something.
SMP. But yeah, that you have to. So you have, if you're going to use it, you have to sort of be mindful about what you're putting out there and make that call if you
But
want to.
Braille Blaster is made, I believe, by APH, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it
It
is.
is a reputable American printing house. So it's a reputable company, and they keep it updated, so it's quite good. I know Marilyn said it was difficult to set up her embosser. Did everyone find there were some wasn't the easiest thing in the world to set up an embosser, or
I think
anyone
part
want
of
to?
it, if you
Yes,
follow the
it's
manual,
challenging. Yeah, it's challenging
challenging.
though, especially when you have to set up a generic text-only printer. If you have a technology person that, like Rick Chant, close by, I ac actually asked him to help me set it up,
Me too.
because I just find that I'm not very good on the technical side of computing. So if someone else can get it working, that works well for me. So yeah, it is a bit challenging. It's doable on your own, but it is. I'll be really glad, I guess, when the setup process is made less complicated. Let's put it
Well, and
that
it
way.
the complication is increased because of the keypad. They don't make the numbers in any way accessible for blind person to read, at least not on mine.
Because I had one of those for a while, and as long as you know where that 1, 2, and 3 is at the top, and it's because it's exactly like a phone pad.
Well, that's not the problem. The problem is there's four keys across.
Yeah, there
Which,
is. Okay.
and I can never remember whether it's the one on the very left or the one on the very right that doesn't count for
Right.
the numbers. And I
Yeah.
suppose I could write it down, but those kind of things just make me annoyed.
Yeah, they should
Yeah.
have Braille on, like right on the embosser.
There should be something.
Yeah,
And a
many
manual.
newer embossers do have Braille
Yeah,
on them.
they do. They do.
Marilyn has an
Mine
older one, which actually doesn't. But yeah,
So
the newer ones do have Braille.
one
Once
day
you
I
just
may
might
need
have
to
to
go.
suck it up and buy a new
That's right.
embosser. One
The
thing I
other
would
thing.
say, oh, sorry, Diana.
Sorry,
Oh,
go
sorry.
ahead.
All I was going to say, because we were talking about it, is the one thing about Duxbury, the newer versions, the printer setup is built in for each embosser now. So you don't have to use text-only printers anymore.
Ah,
Yeah,
So, like,
it's
I don't use it now at all. I set it up as a embosser V5 or V4, whichever I'm using.
okay, because I have 12.4 and I was told to upgrade it would cost me $600, which is almost the cost of the software. So I thought, I don't need to do this.
You could try
One thing I
Braille
would,
Blaster. Go ahead, Jen.
sorry, I just was gonna say, also with Duxbury, I just wanted to say two quick things. With Duxbury, the install process is a lot easier now. Like I know back in the it used to be more complicated. They have it is, I mean, I shouldn't say this. I'm a little bit more techie too, so maybe I it just doesn't, but it has gotten easier. The thing I was going to say about embossers, and this is kind of the case for Braille displays too, that some of the things that we get, if they're manufactured in Europe, like if you had a Vario Ultra Braille display, or even like with the Index, the manufacturer is in Sweden, and some of the processes and like workflows or whatever, they're a little bit different in Europe. And I think it's probably more intuitive for people who are there than maybe for us. But I think that's one of the things, like, depending on which embosser you have, some of the setup is more intuitive than others. So like I found that I set mine up myself. It was a little finicky, but I think it does kind of depend on the embosser, and you have to, it really does depend on like what your tolerance is for tech frustration, or, you know, if you're in a situation where it's easy to get someone else to do. Mind you, when I set my first one up, my husband was there, but I was like, I'm going to do this unless I'm like really stuck, and then I'm going to get him to help me. But I find the index isn't as intuitive as, say, like I found the Juliet to be more intuitive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll, the Romeo and Juliet are HumanWare displays, and the index would be, you said, from Sweden, right? The index, yes. Is that right?
Yeah. Mine, yes.
Yes, I don't know. What are the, now, in assistive technology, I think, carries them, but I'm not certain.
What are the other main ones? What are the other main ones that people get?
There's the Tiger Embosser, which is
View Plus.
Yes.
Enabling technologies. I know some of the companies have sort of merged, so I wouldn't trust myself to have all of the manufacturers, because I also, one thing to note that I was just having this conversation with someone. Back in the day, the Romeos and Juliets, I was talking about the really crisp dots. HumanWare makes Romeos and Juliets now, but they're not the Romeo and Juliets of the past. They're mm-hmm. more like the index now. So yeah. That's where you really should, if you decide you want a Juliet, you should check out a sample. And if you can, ask them, you know, like Betty recommended.
Mm-hmm. To somebody to print you a sample.
Because they're not, they don't make them like they used to. Apparently that.
No, they don't.
So I see a hand, but I'm going to wait. I'm just going to get through these next couple of questions, and then Peg, I see your hand, and don't worry. I'm not going to ask the question about the one of the questions, because we sort of covered it. But are there any other ways of keeping the embossers quiet? So we did mention a few things. One was possibly foam. One is possibly the companies make things that you can put around your displays to keep them a little quiet. Does anyone have any other tips about quietness, especially if people are living in apartments or somewhere with sharing space with roommates, or, you know, something where, anyone have any more tips?
Do it when they're awake.
At night or early in the morning.
I don't have a quietness tip as much as a, you know, I live in a house, but I am attached to my neighbors on one side, and where my embosser is not near, is on the other side of my house.
Yeah. So try
I
to
was
put
able
it
to do that
on an outside wall.
Yeah.
Or if you really have to, like if I wasn't able to do that, I would think about the time when I embossed, or I would just go and talk to my neighbors and say, listen, I'm really sorry. This is what it is. It's very loud. I'm not, you know, I'm just warning you, and find out how much they can actually hear it, because maybe they can hear it and it's really just bothering them, but you might find that they don't hear it as much as you think, or that they don't mind when they know what it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. I didn't have major complaints when I was doing all that election printing, and I was really concerned about it, but my neighbor never complained at all. So that was great.
One last quick question, and then we're going to get to, you know, other people can, because there's some people here who else, I know Jen has embossers, Peg, I think too, and other people may have tips or questions. And I see Peg's hand is up, but the last thing I'm going to ask is, how do you keep it in good shape? So a lot of you have said you need to send it in for maintenance. Are there any other tips that you can do to keep it so that you don't have to send it as often?
I cover it when I'm not using it for any length of time. I mean, not over a day or whatever. I put a towel or a blanket over it so that the dust doesn't get in. But it gets paper dust from printing. But you can also take one of those, I call them air dusters, those things that with the little air that you can blow into things.
The compressed air?
Yes. Blow it into the print head, because that can't, it doesn't damage anything, and it blows that dust out. So you can do that on your own. That's one thing you can do. And Rick, even though I don't know if Canadian, and I don't think they sell the index, but I know that Rick can repair them. And I
Yes.
have sent to him before to repair them. And he once actually helped my husband when we didn't need a part. And I forget now what it was that we did do, but my husband got in there and Rick showed him how to fix whatever it was. I don't know if I would have done it, but it meant I didn't have to send it to Vancouver from Calgary to get it fixed. I
Anyone
would
else?
say, oh, sorry. I was just going to
Yeah, go
say,
ahead.
don't eat or drink and keep your food like while you're using your embosser. I know that sounds really basic, but
Well, yeah, but or your
like,
Braille display, please
don't,
don't. Yeah,
or your
that's
Braille
different.
display, like, don't. I knew somebody who was like eating chocolate, and then she was asking me, like, can I check it? I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a jerk, but please wash your hands first if you're going to touch my Braille display. So it's the same thing with embossers. Like, I wouldn't, and I wouldn't
That
kind
was
of
me,
say,
wasn't it? Wasn't it me? Your
no,
lunch
it
or
wasn't you.
coffee? No, it wasn't
Don't,
me.
it totally wasn't you. Kim would never
No.
do a thing like that. But yeah, like,
No.
again, I know it sounds really basic, but that's something like, don't put food and drinks near the embosser, or don't kind of snack while you're printing something out. So that's what I would say. Also, I didn't tell you, I forgot to tell Kim and Daphne at the beginning. I'm live tweeting.
We'll be on our way.
You're what?
I'm live tweeting.
Oh, okay. You're live tweeting. All
I'm
right.
live tweeting.
That's fine.
I know we didn't have a
Thank you.
conversation.
Thank you for thinking of it.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. That's
You're
great.
welcome.
So I'm going to pause there. I know I see that Peg's hand is up. Are there any other hands up, Daphne, at the moment? Just Peg.
Yeah, no, I don't see any other hands there,
Okay.
Kim.
So Peg, you go ahead, Peg. And then if
Well,
anyone
hi.
else has questions or comments,
Oh,
please.
hi everyone. This is basically a question. This has been a really wonderful presentation. I just wonder, really, in terms of the interface, like for controlling the printer, I believe some of them have speech capabilities. I'm just wondering if someone could talk about that, like for, you
All
know, for,
right.
yeah, because that's a game changer, I think, as far as doing your controls on the printer, the
My
embosser.
room do, don't they? Yeah. Yeah,
The index does, the Juliet does,
My Romeo
the newer
does.
Juliet.
And you said the Romeo does. So
Mine does.
what do
There's
they
it depends
speak.
on the version, I
Yeah,
think.
no,
There's
the old
a
Romeo doesn't. No.
what do they speak? What kind of things do they tell you?
It's not what I consider very helpful, to be
Oh.
honest, but it'll say things like if I have to, if the paper comes out and I have to change it and put it back in, it'll say, I think it says press 2E or 3E to get the printer back online. So there's a few little helpful reminders, and this is a what's called a Romeo 50, and I forgot all about this when we were saying what we wanted in a printer, but I definitely wanted speech with my printer. And the Romeo 25 doesn't talk, but as far as I know, it has all the same features, but the 50 does. And it'll say things like the printer is ready to run. And you can tell that because you can hear it set up all the stuff. But there are little things that are kind of useful. And if they're not, if those things aren't being said, something hasn't started up right.
Yeah,
So
anyone else?
some of the other printers, the keys are spoken when you press them.
Oh, gee, mine isn't.
No, I know the Romeos don't, but some of the
So
other.
does
Yeah, that's
someone
great.
else, are there some of the others when you press a button, does it say what it is?
Yeah,
Yes.
exactly.
Yes, it
It does.
does.
Line feed, and mine's got Braille or talks, and then the menu buttons. Yeah.
And which one is
And the
that,
most
Diana?
annoying, that's an index.
The
The
index,
index.
okay.
The four and five, they will talk. The annoying thing is if the paper does jam, which, as Betty says, doesn't happen very often, it sits there and goes, paper jam, paper jam, or out of paper, out of paper, out of paper, until you
mine, when it jumps, it sits there and it's really loud. It goes, doo doo, doo doo, doo doo, and it doesn't quit till you press a button. It's bizarre.
How do you get paper out when they jam? How do you get
you
my...
usually pull it through, open up the locks that hold the tractor in and pull it. Like, it usually doesn't jam to the point where it's caught, it's stuck so hard inside because the printer stops first.
Well, what I find it does is if anything keeps the paper from moving down, the lines will run together.
Mm-hmm. That's so, right. Yeah.
So mine, I've got a big length of table. So we have a bit of a fancy thing set up just to keep the paper on a little bit of a slant so that it will keep feeding. Mm-hmm. But then if I get lucky, it will fold up as it embosses. Mm-hmm. So that I pretty much know where the pages are, and that's helpful. And I have mine set to put the page number at the bottom right. And I find that that's the easiest when I'm separating the pages. For me, it's the easiest way to check that I have the pages in order, except when I didn't the last time that I read something for Braille Literacy Canada. And that was embarrassing.
Wow.
But that happens.
But you're right. So this is a really good point too, because someone said to be careful how much space is around the display and all of that. But so you do have to think about, where is all this paper going to go?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And is this paper going to go somewhere where it's not going to jam up, right? Like, it's going
to
go somewhere.
Yeah, it needs somewhere. Space to it feed needs it. Through.
Yeah, and you don't want it sort of jamming up, but you also, you know, want some space around it if that's what's needed for the fans or whatever, and you want it on an outside wall quiet. So you want to think, you want to make sure you have nice amount of space on the desk or table where it, wherever it's sitting, I'm presuming.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else got anything to say about this speech
we
element?
Have a, we have another hand here.
Yeah, I see Monique's hand. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So anyone else got anything to say about the speech before we go to Monique? Like, any more about what Peg asked about? So that could be a consideration that you might keep in your head. If you wanted it to have speech, like Marilyn said, if you wanted an embosser that would tell you paper jam.
And yeah. Also Braille labels on the, you know, the index on has Braille labeling on near its buttons so that you know what those
that
buttons
would,
are. That might be a consideration as well.
Do they all have Braille manuals, or is that not a thing? How are the...
They don't all. Some do,
they
some don't.
Some okay. don't, yeah. It's so, like everything else.
Yeah, and that's still something BLC wants to make sure we lobby for. But so that could be something as well. Can you get a Braille manual if that's really important to you, especially in setting it up at the beginning to do that step by step? I would prefer, definitely, if I was doing it, a Braille manual, I'm sure, to help with that. Monique, I know you know a lot about embossers.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for the panelist for the presentation. I have a few questions, really a few comments. I'm now in my third or fourth printer. I got a good one for 15 years before, from 2007, and was not the first one. The first one I got it in 1988, and for 12 years, and now I got another one. Wasn't very good, then I bought the ET Brailler that's for 15 years, but in 2022, Windows decided to change from drivers, and I couldn't use the printer anymore. I wasn't very happy, and I have the one repair on that printer. We had to change the printer. It's not easy. The choices are really limited, I should say, compared to what we got in print. Can buy anything in printer, but in Braille. I check around the HumanWare. I think the only distributor in Canada, I think they have assistive technology, but living in Gatineau and Hawaii, it's very old HumanWare. And they have only 2-3 choices. We don't have too many. And most of it's what choice do we have? Finally, I ended up with a Juliet 120. No, there's no manual. We have something. I think CD, no, by email, I think we got the manual, I remember. And there's no Braille manual because HumanWare doesn't produce any Braille manual. And even the manual doesn't say a lot how to install. got some aid, some help from Marie-Jo Beaulieu to help us, because she asked, well, you were aware what to do. But the explanation are very little and not very expensive, and we have at least some time to some problem to plug the stuff, connect the stuff in the network, because Alan and I, we share the same picture now, and we have some problem. The technician has to come and call the even human services. It's not something we could do ourselves, but so complicated. Yes, they are all complicated, but the one I got with the ET Braille, as a Braille on the keypad, was very nice, and they could talk if I wanted and say, okay, you know what to go across it on. No problem. I like this printer. I'm just too bad with those decided to play around the driver wasn't there anymore. That's why we have to change it. But and I think it's something when we have it fixed, it's just too bad the company don't do it. It would be nice to have a replacement, because it takes a model or two sometimes before we get the printer.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
I ask the company, they don't do it. If you change car every day, fix it, they give you a why. I don't know why they don't do it for a printer, because the only place you can sit is the company, and sometimes even they ship that stuff to the States. That's something we don't know. And I don't know what drawbacks really how we're going to do it anyway. And that's if we have a replace, because sometimes we have well to do between then and the time we get to over for back, but we don't have anything. And I think that the company should do more than they do about that too, to have a replacement and to have something. That I print a lot of well.
Yeah,
I'll copy agenda documents I need for meetings and with that. I print a bit less now, but every week I need something in the way well for the community or for myself or to read it. And I agree with you. I think we should have manual when we have to install that, because it's not easy from a computer or Braille display.
No. Any Braille product, Braille display or Braille, we need to have that.
Well, they should at least, I don't know why they don't have at least a Dutch Braille done, and we are just to print it or whatever, and so on. That should be part of the purchase.
I find it terrible that you said, Monique, that the drivers changed and then you weren't able to use the printer. That sounds wrong.
Yeah.
Well, that's
Kim,
really
I have
strange.
To leave. I'm
okay.
They need to clean my room.
Yeah, they need you need to get out of the hotel. So.
Yes. I
thank
do.
You. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Diana. So thanks, Monique. Yeah, those are really good points and important points. And the same with Braille displays. If you have a Braille display and you're without it for months or weeks and you need it, you know what? No one ever gives you a loaner. I've never seen that.
No, you would well do say at least a month. That means it takes two or 3 months. Just don't know. It depends who's going to fix it. Well, maybe they are short staff to do that. It depends what the problem. You have to ship it. It costs money because you have to send it, be sure, away by a courier.
That's it, for sure.
This one don't have a car. That has to be picked up.
And that's it. We don't have cars.
No,
some of us,
don't,
a lot of us, so that we can't go drop these heavy things off with people.
We don't want to bother people. Sometimes it's heavy. Let's see, now the Juliet is a bit less heavy than the other one was. I have a neighbor help me take it downstairs when it was very heavy. But I don't know. They have so heavy. And what I do now with the Juliet, and we have to call a technician and say, yeah, when you don't use it, turn it off. If the paper is off, I shut it down and I wait. And anyway, last time it didn't work.
That's good. Thanks, Moni. Thanks so much. We have another hand that says iPhone. I'm not sure who you are. But
I'm Francine.
Oh, Francine. How are you, Francine?
I'm very well, thank you. And this is a wonderful presentation. And I really thank Leo Bissonnette to have invited me over and have the staff allow me to be here. I have a question. I rely not so much on my Windows computer anymore and Duxbury, but I rely a lot on my Braille display, which is a Braille note, which is on its last leg. I rely on that in my iPhone. I have a Braille printer. I have the Index Basic V4. And I wanted to know when my Braille display leaves me, I'll have to purchase another one. And are there Braille embossers that would easily be set up with that, with maybe translation software, or because that's how I choose to do Braille right now.
Like with your, you would want to compare with your Braille display?
Yes.
Okay. So do the Braille embossers work well paired with the Braille display?
Well, this one does very well because the Braille display was set up on the Windows computer. But if a Braille display is a standalone unit, can you do Braille embossing with a standalone unit
from the Braille display? And that's a really other good question. Can you do it from the phone? I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh no, from the iPhone. No, for sure.
No, but does anyone know what Braille displays you might be able to do standalone embossing from?
It would have to be a Braille note taker.
So like the Braille Sense or the Braille Note.
The Braille Sense or the Braille Note. And there is a new one.
The Mantis might be able. You think the Mantis can do it, Jen?
It might be able to. I have one. I'm sorry, Betty. You were saying there's a new one.
Well, it's okay. There's the people that have created the BT Speak are creating a BT Speak with a Braille display.
Yeah,
and I believe it will. It may be able to do that. That may be one of its features.
But I'm looking at the Mantis because I have it with me sitting here right now. Because it has a Braille editor, I wonder if it would connect to...
You would have to see if there's an emboss. You'd have to see if there's an emboss feature as part of the menu. If you were in
Editor settings.
And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not sure that it does. You can take like Word files, and I think you can save them as BRF. Like it does a little bit of translation.
You can save them as BRF in the Braille editor.
I might have lied. I don't know that it actually can emboss.
I think there are Braille displays that can.
I think there are, but
they would have to be a note taker.
Not the Brilliant or the Focus. It would have to be either the Braille Sense 6. Or the Braille Note Touch.
Braille Sense would probably be the best one, I'm guessing.
But you're right that when the BT Speak Braille one comes out, which apparently in a few months they're going to have a 20 cell. That one might do it because it's like a pocket computer kind of thing.
Yes, it is. So that might do it.
But I think Monique is right, and this is similar to what you're saying, Francine. There seems to be very limited choices. I agree with what Monique said about Braille embossers. Like, there really aren't a lot of choices. And the same with Braille displays, especially if you're looking for something that you could emboss directly from, which I think, you know, there used to be more of those, but now I think there's not as many, but probably, yeah, it would probably have to be like the Braille Sense line, the 6 or the Braille Note Touch Plus.
I will look in the Brilliant and see it be BRF editor and see if there's an option.
I'm in the Braille editor right now. So there's create file, open file, editor settings. So I'm going to look in editor settings. So in editor settings, it's the show text editor, indicators, format BRF.
Oh.
characters per line, lines per page. That's about it, but it.
Well, if it has that, you would think
that's
you should be able to print it.
That's quite basic. That could be interesting. And where is the Braille Note Touch Plus made? Which company makes
that? Oh, HumanWare makes that.
Oh,
and HumanWare also makes the Brilliant and the Mantis, and that's what we're talking about. We have them, but where else would it be? I guess if you looked, I'm going to look to in the online settings, the Daisy Online. No. And then I don't know. There's like Bluetooth.
I wonder if we could suggest that they add that in a future update, because that
Connect device,
might be.
Yeah. Well, what other reason would they have lines per page? Because a display doesn't matter. I mean, there's no indicators on.
Yeah, that's true. They
think
in the Braille editor. Yeah,
it would be good to know, though, because when I do choir music here and I transcribe everything on my Braille display, and I need to know, you know, from one page to the next. So I leave enough space at the top, even though it's already programmed in. So lines per page for me is very important.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, why else would they have it as a choice?
Well, because you can put it on an SD card and
because you're
going to
put it on
your
device.
But here's a thing that's going to change, may change things a little bit. And I was thinking about this when we were talking about pros and cons of embossers, and is EBRF and multi-line displays may even change this even more. And I don't know whether it will or it won't, but this is something to keep in our head. And we will be having a presentation about EBRF at our symposium. So stay tuned for that, because that may mean that on your devices, you can customize them way, way more than we can at the moment.
Well, Francine, I think you ask a really good question, because I mean, I've never even thought of this. And I think we need to find out.
Well, I used to emboss things from the Braille.
Hang on. Someone's calling me. What? Who's that?
Sorry, I was just going to say, I totally agree. I think it would be great if more devices could do this. Back in the day, I used to have a Pac-Mate, and I could, I had what did I have? Like a Romeo or something. And I could actually connect them and emboss. So it's possible. Some of them do it.
Well, yeah, the Braille Note Empower, they used to do it, I think.
Yes.
So,
that's what I have, the Braille Note Empower.
Okay.
You should be able to do
32
it.
32 characters.
No, but it's dying, though. Hers is dying.
Yeah, mine is on. The motherboard will not be replaced. So, and it jumps a lot, and the battery gets down very, very quickly. So I can, it's not so reliable anymore.
Yeah. Well, that would be something you could ask HumanWare, and you could ask, I don't know if the Braille, Diana's gone, but she has a Braille, what did they call that thing?
Which are you talking about?
Used to replace the Braille Edge, and then it was
The Cube Braille.
Cube Braille, yeah. But now there's a new thing, the Evolution. I can never think of the name.
Think those displays, I'm pretty sure they don't do embossing. They don't function as note takers as well.
Okay. Well, they do have a note taking, like they have an editor in them, so I didn't know what.
Yeah, I think they have a basic editor.
Yeah, you can do files, and I think that I could print from my Braille Sense, my old Braille.
Oh, the Braille Sense, you could for sure.
Yeah, you could. Yeah,
and that. Well, you know, and it reminds me too about another artifact of these embossers. Maybe the newer ones aren't like this, but my old Romeo embosser, it's got a parallel port connection.
Oh my!
So the issue there with some of these embossers can be cables. And I think when I talked to the people at Canadian Assistive Technology about it, that the company that used to make those, they still have those old connections, and that can be one of the disadvantages of those.
Yeah.
That's true. Although I think you can convert them to use a different cable if you've got the right person who.
Yeah,
who
you can.
And you can get that. Converter. You can get like you parallel to USB.
Yeah,
like that's what I had to do.
Packages.
Yeah. And it kind of complicates it in one way because you have one more cable, and if any of those cables have the slightest little bit of inconsistency in them, then these machines don't want to work. They don't want to talk nice.
Yeah, but that's a really great question, and it's interesting that the companies aren't thinking in this way, because if we're paying a lot of money for our rail displays and for our embossers, we want them to talk to each other. Like, there's no reason we wouldn't want that, right?
Absolutely.
That
is brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, and also, I wonder if there would ever be a printer, a Braille printer, that could connect to iOS, like to your iPhone.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Because
you can print from
why couldn't you? Yeah, why couldn't you Braille print from? Why couldn't you emboss? Because VoiceOver has Braille. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand.
If you could connect wirelessly to a Braille embosser, I bet it could work.
We should ask Diana that, because she could ask it to print a BRF file through her iPhone wirelessly and see if she can do it.
One of the challenges is that it's, unless somebody knows of something, it's really hard to like to access a BRF file on your phone, because there's no.
Yeah, that's true. There's no way of accessing them.
Yeah, because there's no app.
I don't know why someone didn't make an app.
Maybe you couldn't open it. That makes sense.
Well,
I use a thing called iEditor.
And on the Focus, what you do, it works with the fifth generation Focus that has the menu on it that doesn't use the regular menu that connects with your phone. It's a little file editor in there. And you can read BRF files.
Oh, the scratch pad. No,
yeah,
but we're talking
right.
about.
Yeah, but you couldn't print it through your phone.
No, I'm sure you can't.
Yeah. One thing that I have found that works, I found an app. It's called iEditor, and I can open BRF files kind of as TXT files, but then you do have to play with your Braille output. That it might be tricky if you were trying to have like send it to an embosser, because the phone would see it as a TXT file, but that's the only way so far I found. If I was a coder, I would build an app that could open BRF files.
See, Diana would probably be, she loves technical stuff, so she'd probably be willing to try it.
But I think
Braille.
It probably would come out in computer. It wouldn't come out. I think that you need an app, and I've often wondered why there is no app that you could open BRFs. Like, you could download the Sila BRFs, you know, and open them on something, which you can't do. But maybe eBRF, like maybe now that we're getting closer to eBRF.
Yeah, because that will be more like an EPUB file.
That will be more like an EPUB. So it might be that the embossers will get to this place where they become printable. But that's a great question, because there are a lot of people now who are using just their phone. And I know earlier on the call we talked about this. I use my phone and my Braille display every day. I'm on that all the time. I never have my phone open without it being paired, and I use Braille more than I ever did. So it's kind of, you know, I use the computer, but I use my phone a lot. So it is something to kind of maybe try to lobby for this ability, right? Because,
The other thing that I'm wondering, and I don't know if this is possible, but we're a little slow in our house catching up with things. We're just starting to work with OneDrive, Microsoft OneDrive, and I'm finding all kinds of interesting ways that I can read the same file on my iPhone and my Windows computer, both of which have Braille displays, and that I, as far as I know, I can make changes to one of those files.
You can. If you're logged in, you can,
And I think that's fantastic, and I'm still learning about it, but it makes me wonder if this is maybe something that if we're lobbying to have the ability to braille files from our phones, maybe this is something we could talk about, like through cloud storage or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of thinking out of the box here.
No, you're right. But it is a very interesting question. And it's definitely an interesting concern, right? What are people using to...
That's right. And you know, I think it's almost very close to being doable.
Oh, yeah. Someone needs to make an app that...
Well, I think we need to raise awareness. Because, I mean, I get really annoyed when people say, well, you can listen to it. Isn't that good enough? Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. How would you do if you didn't get to read, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we are reading on our braille displays with our phone.
But
it's that piece, what Francine said about
for people that don't have a braille display
with,
and they want hard copy
no,
braille.
That. But
what we're talking about here
is the printing of the stuff that you're using on your, you know.
Exactly.
You don't have embossing. Yeah,
one of the options that we talked about was if a person doesn't want a braille display and they just want hard copy braille, that is something that they should have a choice about and be able to get it, just like a sighted person would be able to get printed paper.
But here is another question, and this I've been thinking about this whole panel because of the exorbitant price of braille displays and what Monique said about having one being missing too long. Does anyone know, or are there ways that people could connect to those people who have braille displays if they need something really desperately? And I don't mean companies that pay you, but say I was giving a big presentation and I said, oh, geez, I really would prefer hard copy braille. Well, I don't
I
have
I would
it
do
anymore.
It for you, Kim.
I know.
I would do
but
it.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, is there a kind of a network so that, you know, that if somebody really needed something hard copy or their embosser was broken and they needed, you know, it's almost like we need to be in some ways a community to help each other.
I'll tell you something interesting. There was a newspaper article very recently. There's a college in the Vancouver area, that just purchased an embosser. I don't know what kind, but they are advertising. If you want hard copy Braille, they'll give it to you for 25 cents a page. So I thought that was really interesting.
That's the kind of thing that maybe we could lobby our libraries, public libraries, or, you know, other places to get them. But then at the same time, then you have to have someone there who knows how to do it, right? Like,
well, that's the issue. I'm really curious about that. So I don't know what kind of embosser they have. And I suspect it might be a View Plus. And so the formatting wouldn't be that great. But, you know, it's still, if you didn't have a hard copy of something and you really needed it, then it's maybe a pretty good service to have available.
Or has anyone heard of 4 or 5 people getting together and buying an embosser and then like leaving it at someone's house, but then like using
it?
You know what I mean? Like, no, but seriously though, if you trusted those people, like if Jen and I and Monique, like I'm just thinking of the people here that are in Ottawa. But say Jen didn't have one. So Jen and I and Monique and Vangelis, who all live in Ottawa here, bought an embosser together, and we said, well, you know, Jen has a big house and we'll put it there, but we can use it whenever we want. If she tells us, you know, if we say we need this, then we have to have time on the embosser. We can send a file and say, send. I don't know whether people do that, but it's almost like you could think about it that way, right?
Well, I know Betty and Diana and I have done things like this for years and years and years. I remember I was invited to go to a program out of the city of Vancouver by a long way. And it was back then, it was I guess, oh, what computer did I have? I don't even know. But it was in the 90s, so it was a long time ago. But my little speech, my deck talk speech quit. It stopped. And I was panicking because I thought, we didn't have Braille then. And Betty loaned me hers, you know? And yeah, like we did when we did the Braille recipes for the Zoomers, we sent the files to Diana and she Brailled them, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's certainly a community.
Yeah. So I wonder, you know, I wonder anyway. It's yeah. An interesting thing to think about though. Like, you know, sharing of these resources or knowing who has them. If, like Monique said, hers is gonna be gone for 2 months and this week she really needs, you know, this particular thing.
Right. Oh,
who has embossers? Oh, so-and-so has the, you know, I could ask them if they don't mind. I mean, I know, you know, we don't want to ask Jen to emboss everybody's stuff or something like that. You know, like you don't want someone to have to, the burden of it. But at the same time,
the
when it's important.
Out there. I mean, if you're coming over every day, I might kind of, we might have to have a conversation. But I honestly mean it. If somebody was like, hey, look, I really need a couple, do you emboss this for me? I mean, I'm open to that.
Once in a while. Yeah. Especially if you pay for the paper or something.
Well, you just have to buy Jen a Starbucks and then
and there you go. For $6, this hard copy could be yours.
Maybe two or three Starbucks. Starbucks is
I do it for one. I
Starbucks.
Oh. I do it for one.
So Kim, I actually have to go.
Oh yeah, well it's your anniversary. So
yes,
of course,
yes.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Actually,
enjoy your yummy
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. You guys are gonna have a nice laugh over this. I have a recording of our wedding and I'm gonna go find it and play it. My husband and I are gonna listen to it.
Oh, lovely. That's so cool.
That's great. Well, oh my gosh, that must be on a cassette or something.
It is.
Oh wow, cool.
Wow. That's great.
So I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you for being on.
Bye, Betty.
Okay. So we have a few minutes left. We have about 4 minutes left. So if anyone else has a comment or a question about this topic.
Actually, I have a comment about this general workshop. It was just happen chance that I heard about it a week and a half ago. And I guess I hadn't read the December newsletter, but I went and found it in the December newsletter. I thought, don't emails go out with these workshop notifications? They used to.
Good comment, Peg. And I this next one will definitely be going out. This one kind of snuck up on us very quickly. And
well, yeah,
it was in this last week's newsletter too.
Oh yeah,
it was in there.
It didn't go out to the whole membership as a separate announcement, though. But
because they used to, and it was really handy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and we will make sure that this next one coming up in April will do that. But I appreciate you mentioning that because that is definitely an oversight.
Well, that's okay. I think we were doing the World Braille Day stuff, and then we got sort of, we got this workshop now. We got Outlook.
It's great. It's mentioned at the CCB one, not the CC, it was CCB one last week on Braille that Betty did.
Yeah.
And she just happened to mention, okay, I'll better find that somewhere.
And then Monique, you had your hand again up.
That's going to be a quickie because I was almost the end of the meeting, but it's not a bad idea to have somebody can make a hard copy. The problem, you have to be ahead because don't forget, we have to put the stuff in the mail. And if you live too far, you are going to get your stuff on time to make your presentation. I got somebody who called me here and they wanted something for his kid. I did it for nothing because it wasn't very young. But I said, we have to pick up because I cannot build the stuff. It's going to be 2 days. He called me a day ahead.
That's true. Yeah.
That's the problem. How am I going to send the stuff to people and they're going to be... It's not to make a hard copy. It's hard sometimes to be... With our system we have now, and how I'm gonna ship, and that's gonna cost maybe some money if we send this stuff by a courier or whatever, and we have to decide about that. That's it. Thanks for everybody. Thanks for the presentation.
Thank you very much.
Any last minute thoughts or comments before we close the door?
I'd like to say a big thank you to you, Kim and Daphne, for organizing this.
Well, thank you. And I'm very sorry that that one email I sent to the people on the panel, I don't know where it went. It went somewhere in cyberspace. Like, these people are not getting back to me. I don't understand it. And then it was like no one had gotten it.
This, so is,
like,
the, yeah, this is the modern version of Lost in Space.
It's like weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're usually so nice and they usually get back to me so
fast. No, we didn't.
You know, I get this text from Tim. Can you help with the embosser of the webinar on Saturday? I'm like, yeah, I hadn't. Anyway, it was funny.
Yeah, it was funny, but I don't know where that email went. But if you get it, if you get it in future, don't worry. It's not another
one. I still haven't got it. And I always check my junk email too. It just didn't arrive.
No, I don't know. I don't know what happened to it. I wrote it. It may be in my drafts for all I know. Maybe got lost there.
Oh, well.
But yeah, okay. Thank you, everybody. And thanks, Daphne, for taking notes. And
yep. Not a problem.
Thanks so much for the invite.
Oh, thanks, everyone. Well,
come to
glad
more.
Glad you enjoyed this.
Okay. Yes. You come to some more, too.
All right.
Thank you. It was great. Bye-bye.
Have a good day, everyone.
Everyone, have a good day.